going to open the joint committee on Ways and Means. It's April 6, 2015, a little after 1 p.m. I'll open the meeting. And Julie, you want to tell us what we're going to be doing today, finishing up the public hearing?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Chair. Today we'll hear the remainder of the Oregon State Police's budget overview presentation. We'll pick up with the Gaming Enforcement Division, and we'll hear from the State Fire Marshal and the Administrative Services Division.
Okay, and the slides are on which date?
Sorry, the slides are on the 3/31 meeting date.
Yeah. You know, Superintendent and everyone, please apologize for my colleagues. The Senate is still debating the K-12 state school budget, and as the House members missed it, it's a very important thing. State police is very important, too. Public safety is a primary function of government, in my opinion, so I'm glad to be here, and we'll be sure that your testimony is reviewed by the other members. So please identify yourself and begin, please.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate you being here. And committee members, my name is Patrick Ashmore. I'm the deputy superintendent. Introduced myself last week. So I'm going to come in today and just answer. There was a question that Senator Shields had asked towards the end of the presentations in regards to benefits provided by OSP that the tribes were not billed for. So I have a couple of examples. There were two significant instances where we as an agency responded. Back in May of 2010, Warren Springs Police had a car stop that the individuals, two suspects, opened up fire and actually shot at the Warm Springs police officers. And so after that ensued a long pursuit that ended up on the reservation in a mountainous, remote area. I was actually on scene later. It was in my area command at the time. In that incident, we had, I believe, six uniformed officers that responded immediately at Warm Springs Police Department's request. I just want to comment, they did an excellent job containing the two suspects. And so we helped them contain. When the suspects went out on foot, they actually continued to shoot at the police officers. So when we got there, they had them secured in a canyon, but again, opened at one end and we were at the other end. And so then we had our SWAT team respond, which took several hours, but we had a full SWAT call out. As a result, there was one suspect that was picked up. Identified the second suspect, and in that case, the second suspect was located at a residence, again on the reservation, at a later date. And the Federal Fugitive Task Force, which we have a detective assigned to, responded to that call. The suspect was in the residence and once again shot at the police officers, and he was shot and wounded and eventually taken into custody. So very significant between those two events, kind of collectively together. That was one event. The second incident was in August of 2014. There was a information on a marijuana grow that was on the Umatilla Reservation over out of Pendleton. The BENT team, which is the Blue Mountain Interagency Narcotics Team, and along with our SWAT team, was requested by the Umatilla tribe to come on the reservation and assist in trying to locate the suspects and also cultivate the marijuana, seize the marijuana. So in that case, it was a several weeks of surveillance, nighttime surveillance, where the SWAT members would go out at night, and eventually they were able to apprehend two suspects that were non-tribal members, and the SWAT team, along with some of our detectives and the BENT team, went in and cultivated, I'm not sure, I think it was around 6,000 marijuana plants, I believe, and it was drug trafficking organization marijuana grow. And some other day-to-day benefits that OSP provides the tribe that they're not billed for are the typical traffic crash responses. We have state freeways that go through some of the reservations in the state. So traffic crash response, traffic crash investigations, DUI enforcement, and the major crime team call-outs that I talked about last week. And as a last comment, within the OSP's gaming division, we believe there still are some areas of concern regarding enforcement, and those are fund transfers, bankroll, and criminal activity involving gaming. So we just wanted to make sure that we made that clear. And I believe that was at the end of the presentation, and I don't think that there's any more for us to present unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Deputy Superintendent. So sir, a couple of sessions ago, we passed a bill, a cooperation between the tribes and law enforcement. So this worked, or were you working under that agreement, or were you working under your contract for gaming? Your charge.
Representative Winsett, I'm not sure I understand your question in regards to the agreements to go on the reservations for these extra.
Yes, sir. We I think it was last session or session before, we had an agreement that whether we could go on tribe or not go on reservation and pursue or something like that. And so your pursuit and everything is that in accordance with the contract for the that we're providing the police for the gaming institutions, and you are continuing in that role?
It was actually, I'm sorry, committee members, it was actually in response to, that was an officer safety. We have an agreement with the tribes that we can go on when it's an officer safety incident. I just want to clarify, the marijuana grow was at the request of the tribes as well as DEA. We had to be deputized by the federal DEA to go on the reservation to have authority.
He outranks me. I'm military. Thank you, Deputy Superintendent. Go ahead.
I've got the gavel. I think it's the first time I've ever had control over this device. Oh boy, look out!
So, the Senate's debating the education.
They're still talking about the education.
Representative Williamson's coming back from. She was speaking at lunch.
Okay, so.
Who's up next?
That was Deputy Superintendent was completing the question about gaming enforcement.
Okay.
So then we'll go back to the regular schedule.
Okay. And I have no further comments, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
He spit in his grave.
Yeah.
Looked like a badger dug him out.
Committee members, for the record, my name is Jim Walker with the Office of State Fire Marshal.
Committee members, for the record, my name is Mariana Reese Temple, and I'm the Chief Deputy with the Office of State Fire Marshal.
And we put together about 12 slides to talk a little bit about the State Fire Marshal's office. With permission from the committee, we're totally another funds division. Our budget for the last biennium was $21 million. Our budget for this current upcoming biennium is $21 million. So to speed up time and to save time for other things, if we could just talk a little bit about what the Fire Marshal's office is doing and maybe go away from the slides temporarily.
It'd be fine.
Okay. So again, you know, our job is really to protect the citizens, their property, and the environment from fire and hazardous, chemical incidences. What we're currently focused on this biennium is really the impact of crude oil and the impact that has potentially on communities. So there's some current discussion going on how we could best utilize resources to protect ourselves in case of an incident like that. And so what we're looking at is our 13 regional hazmat teams, equipping them and giving them the proper training to be able to do that. So I think you're probably going to see a bill, not sponsored by our office, but sponsored by one of the representatives moving forward in that direction. The other thing we get an awful lot of questions on is obviously the preparation for fire season and the up and coming fire season. Based upon the last two fire seasons, it's been a fairly critical concern to communities throughout the state. And so we have three incident management teams, all hazard incident management teams, that help to coordinate statewide resources. And we are fully staffed. We're trained up. We just got done with our IMT training, and we're preparing as well as we possibly can for the up-and-coming fire season. Our concerns is like everybody else, although the rainfall has been about average, it's the snowpack that is really our concerns. The availability, obviously, and for water in the summertime is going to be a challenge. And the other thing that we know is that normally going into fire season, about at least a third of the state is covered in snow. So we know that at least our landscape is lower elevation, and a lower elevation concerns coming into this biennium, we're going to have a bigger landscape. So we have some challenges there. Last year, as you know, we were probably one of the few states that was having problems in the West. We see California, we see Colorado, we see Washington, we see a lot of other states having challenges. And what that means is the availability of resources is going to be fairly scarce. So that is some concerns, but our office is totally engaged in that process, so we feel fairly confident that we're going to be okay there. This committee, last biennium, approved three fee increases for our office. One was the fire insurance premium tax. That does allow us to pay for some of our fire costs. It also helps us in the preparation for wildland urban interface fires, and that's what we're utilizing that for. The other one was for the petroleum load fee, which does sponsor the regional hazmat teams. We've been out purchasing capital equipment to replace a lot of the old equipment that was outdated. So we're in the process of doing that. And the third thing that you folks approved was our hazardous substance possession fee. And that's the fee that actually pays for our community right to know program. And what that's allowing us to do is develop a new online reporting process that allows the facilities that have the hazardous chemicals to go online, put that information into a system as it changes, and then we share that information with local communities and the emergency responders. And then that way they know when a facility is on fire, what types of chemicals are there and where they're located. And so all of those things that we promised last session that we would do if you provided those increases to us, we're doing that, and we feel very, very good about those accomplishments. So unless there's really any questions.
Senator Krieger.
How do you coordinate with, you know, you've got state forestry and their unit, and then you've got your different Coos Forest Patrol, Douglas, and there's, what, four, five of them, mm-hmm. something like that? Mm-hmm. When you get these events, do you work in that area where they are, or do you pull them out, or what do you do?
Co-Chair Williamson, Representative Krieger, in answer to your question, we have a really great relationship with the Department of Forestry. In fact, every other year we actually train together. So we come together because what we know is on most incidences that occur on private ground, there's probably going to be an impact to the resources as well as to the structures. And so what we do is when we come onto an incident like that, we take our incident management team, their incident management team, and we integrate them. And so it becomes one unified command on those incidences. We have the same kind of relationship with the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management, although it's a little bit different in that you don't typically have impacts to communities for most of the incidences that they see. But anything that occurs on private land, you're most likely going to see our two agencies coming together, and we communicate on a regular basis, train on a regular basis. So it's a good relationship.
Yeah, follow-up. Last year you had that first Blanco Music Fest, which, you know, they were thinking like 12,000 maybe, and they ended up with 17,000 or 18,000 people out there, and one road in, a little bit of a traffic congestion type thing. Thought it was managed fairly well, but there was a little thing came up this year with the Sixes Fire Department, and they wanted a much higher fee than they got last time because their sheriff's office got more. I mean, it was getting to be kind of ridiculous. Were you involved in any of that or negotiations of what went on this year?
Not necessarily on the negotiations, because we really allow the locals to work through that process. Only if there becomes, you know, some challenges to either service levels, or people don't necessarily feel like they're meeting the code, or that they don't have the expertise, and then we would come in and we would assist with them. So if there's any issues, like the year before, we were invited to come in and kind of take a look at things. And
I walked around with your fella. Yes. I think he was over in Douglas County, or Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
Came over and we did a walk around all the places. I think part of the problem that developed that time was that there was a letter was supposed to put out to the different event people, the different booths. Not all of them got it, and if they got it, they didn't read it. So propane tanks and open fire and all those types of things. There was a few problems, but actually we worked through it, I thought, quite well.
Representative Krieger, what music festival?
Blanco. This is the big one coming.
Mm-hmm. And you attended?
You bet I did.
He was one of the acts.
I got a lawn chair and sat out there like everybody else did. I won't tell you anymore.
But know that I want to know anymore.
And it's even bigger and better this year. So.
Yeah, I'll bet you they'll hit 25,000.
Yeah. I go to the one Brownsville, so, you know. Kind of.
Any other questions? Thank you. I apologize for being late.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm sure the Senate's not here.
They're.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Okay.
Is that the one?
Eric, just take it to the first one.
Madam Chair, member of the committee, I'm Rick Willis with Administrative Services. And much like the State Farm Marshal, in the interest of time, I thought I'd talk about this issue which probably there's some interest in, and that is we have a package in for $2 million for relocation of a couple facilities. And I know some folks had some interest, so I want to talk about those a little bit. The first one is our Astoria facility. That location, it's a fairly decent building. Problem is, it's right on the pier. It's right in the tsunami inundation zone. So that's not a good place for first responders to be.
That's not helpful.
No. So we've looked around and found a place in Warrenton that is not in the inundation zone, and we can build it to essential services, being that it can withstand most natural disasters. And so we are in the process of getting that going, and that one's come along pretty well.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the elevation is?
The one at Astoria is sea level. The one in Warrenton, I believe, is 400 to 600 feet. It's something. It's further back and it's higher up. Okay. The other site, which has been a little more controversial, is Springfield. In our Springfield site, let me back up. The Warrenton site is an area command. The Springfield site has much more to it. It's got the area command. It's got the regional headquarters. And it has a forensics lab in it. A couple things are going on there. One, we don't have nearly enough room for our needs there. We're really squished in, both the area command and patrol office, as well as the lab. Also, we rent right now from ODOT. They own the building. And ODOT would like their building back. They have some things going on. And let me say, they've been very good partners. They're not throwing us out on the curb. But they would like to move back or have that facility back. So between those two things, we're out looking for another facility. We, over the last year, had been working with a property owner in the area and thought we were close to a deal. We didn't get there. It came down to money. The property, when all was said and done, was over $30,000 a month more than what we could afford if this is approved by you folks. And of course, it's all conditional on approval. So we're back out on an RFP looking for new facilities. One of the things we would like to do with this facility is not only enlarge it with the current units that we have within there, but the only lab that has a DNA unit right now is our Portland facility. We would like to have our Springfield facility also at least be considered for a DNA unit as well. So we need some extra space. We're looking from Coburg in the north down to Cresswell in the south, kind of that area, because it has patrol office. We need to be very close to the freeway for quick access. Went out on RFP. We've got 9 responses. We've gone through the first blush. About 7 of them made the initial cut, and now we're starting to go through the process of vetting those, asking additional questions, getting into the details with those, and we'll narrow it down. So those are the two major relocations we're looking at for this coming biennium, and that's the package we have in. For the rest of administrative service, it's pretty much the standard stuff. We have HR, and we have budget, and we have accounting. I guess the only thing that we have that's a little unique is we have a major fleet operation to take care of the ride of cars, obviously mostly the patrol vehicles, but we have reconstruction vehicles, fish and wildlife vehicles, SWAT vehicles. We have a whole variety of vehicles that we take care of. We put about 11 million miles a year on. It's a lot of miles, and we have a staff of 13 that takes care of those cars. They build them and maintain them. Other than that, it's pretty standard support division stuff. So can I answer any questions?
I have one question.
I know that a while back there was some problems with the Pendleton office, and that's been resolved now, because I know there were some questions with the building, and there's a crime lab there, I think, too.
There is.
And there was some questions about, like, the air system or something.
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, you're quite correct. There is both a lab and a patrol office there. They're in separate buildings. They're not together. The problem that we were experiencing there was with the lab. We still experience some problems. We're doing some things to get through. We will probably be back here next biennium with the package to tee up the issue of we need a long-term solution for Pendleton. So we've done some things in the short term. There was a venting problem. One of the things that's happening as we all have vents in all the ceiling, some particulates were coming down, which, you know, for most places isn't a big deal. For a lab, it is a big deal. You'd have these sterile lab tables with little critters on them. Again, not a good thing. So we've been working with the landlord to get that resolved, and we've got some temporary fixes in, but it's not a permanent big fix. And that, again, we'll probably be back next biennium discussing that.
Okay. Thank you, Manager.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you. You said landlord. How many facilities are leased, and how many are owned, and how many are state buildings, or what's the general breakdown in those?
Chair Williamson, Representative Wisnett, thank you ever so much for asking that question. We do not own any buildings. We are not allowed to own buildings right now. We have a bill in this session that would give us authority to own buildings. So the answer to your question is 100% our lease currently. We do not own any.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah, I tried to work three sessions ago when the market was way down, and that we should have purchased buildings then and consolidated our operations. Yeah. All over Bend, you've got state agencies, state all over the place, right. And that was the time to do it. The market in Bend may have passed by now, I think there was a time that it made sense to buy, not to lease.
Well, and Madam Chair, Representative Wisnett, yes, we would like the authority to buy, but we wouldn't always use that. There are some markets where it makes more sense to rent or to lease. Some markets where it makes more sense to buy. It would be cheaper. It gives the state another asset. But it also gives us another negotiating tool. Because right now folks know that we can't buy. And so when we're in negotiations with a lessor, they're aware of that. It'd be nice to say, okay, if we can cut a deal here, great. But if not, there's a plot of land over there that we can look at buying and building.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all right. So that is the end of testimony on the state police budget. So I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5531. Is there anything else for the committee, and what are we doing tomorrow?
Thanks, Representative Williamson. There's nothing else for today.
Thank you.
For tomorrow, you all will have a budget work session on the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability with Steve Bender.
Excellent. Thank you. That we are adjourned. Thank you. That we are adjourned.